A second chance for demons or Asuras do not believe in God and act according to their own whims. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.15, Krishna describes them as follows: Namam Deskritino Mudha Prapadayant Naratama Mayaparjnana Asuram Bhavramas Rita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons do not surrender unto me. Here Krishna clearly states, Asuram Bhavramas Rita, because the demons have taken shelter of atheistic philosophy, they are the lowest of mankind despite their advancement of education, science, and politics. Someone might object, how can you call an atheistic gentleman with a university degree a demon? He is so educated and highly qualified. The verdict of the Shastra is that, although he appears to be very learned, his actual knowledge has been stolen away by Maya on account of his being atheistic. Scriptural injunctions may not be very palatable, nonetheless, they are authoritative, and we have to preach the truth. We cannot play hide and seek with the problems of life. We must know our real position, and we must know what is religion, and what is irreligion. Religion means action according to the orders of God, and irreligion means action that goes against the orders of God. Chapter 8. Religion. The Yamadutas replied, that which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes Dharma, and the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, and are self-born. This we have heard from Imaraja, Srimad Bhagavatam June 1, 40. Hearing from authority, Vedic principles are accepted as authoritative, because they originate with Krishna. Thus the Vedas carry the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the same way that law books carry the authority of the government. When it comes to determining what is religion and what is irreligion, there is no such thing as this is my opinion or I think it means this. Opinion is nonsense. We have to understand God by the process of Sasruma, hearing from the authorized representative of God. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.1, Krishna says, Imam vivasvadyagam proktavan atamavayam vivasvanmanav pratma manar iksvakav bravit. I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the Sangan, Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Iksvaku. This is the way to understand the Vedas, by hearing from the proper authority, the spiritual master. So the Yamadutas were claiming that the Visnudutas should not hinder them in the performance of their duty, since they were acting under the order of a bona fide authority, Yamaraja. Yamaraja is one of the 12 Mahajanas, great personalities who are authorities in both spiritual and material affairs. He is a Vaisnava, but his thankless task is to punish all the souls who perform sinful activities. Just as the superintendent of police is a responsible, faithful servant of the government, so Yamaraja is a faithful servant of Lord Narayana, or Krishna. His task is to chastise sinful persons. If a high court judge is required in ordinary government, why not in God's government? There are 12 Mahajanas mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Svayambhuva Manu, Prahlada Maharaja, Bhismadeva, Janaka Maharaja, Sukadeva Goswami, Bali Maharaja, and Yamaraja. These authorities know exactly who God is, and they can direct us to Him. Therefore the Shastras advise us to follow them. Without following the Mahajanas, it is impossible to know God, because we cannot understand the path of religion by our mental speculation. Religious principles are enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dharmam tu saksat Bhagavad Pranatam. Therefore real religion means to abide by the words of the Supreme Lord and His representatives. In the Bhagavad Gita, 18.66, Krishna says, Mam ekam saranam vraja, simply surrender unto me. That is true religion. Anything else is irreligion. Man-made religion is not religion, it is cheating. Nowadays it has become fashionable for everyone to manufacture his own religion without reference to the authorities. One should know that Dharma, or religion, means the laws given to man by God. The path of Dharma is strictly followed by the Mahajanas, and so we have to follow them. Otherwise there is no possibility of understanding what religion is, or who God is. Everyone in the material world is puzzled about what religion is. Therefore, the Mundaka Upanishad, January 2, 12, says, One should approach a guru, tadvajnanartham sagaram evabhigakat. If someone wants to learn the transcendental science, he has to approach a guru. There are no exceptions. One cannot say, I shall learn the transcendental science without going to a spiritual master. No. That is not possible. The Vaisnava principles enjoin, adagarvasrayam, the first step in understanding spiritual knowledge is to take shelter of a bona fide guru. And there are three principles to observe in taking shelter of a guru, tadvidhi pranapatina pariprasnina sarvaya. We must surrender to the spiritual master, we must inquire from him, and we must render service to him. Then we will be able to understand real spiritual knowledge. When Sanatana Goswami approached Lord Caitanya to become his disciple, Sanatana surrendered himself and said, My dear Lord, when I was a minister, people used to address me as a learned man, and so I accepted that I was learned and intelligent. But actually I'm neither learned nor intelligent, because I do not know what I am. This is the result of my learning, I know everything, except what I am, and how to get out of this miserable material condition of life. We see that modern education fails here also. The professor talks about so many things, but if we ask him what he has no answer. Universities award degrees to the graduates, who think, I'm a PhD, a very learned man, but if we ask that PhD to explain what he is, and what the purpose of life is, He will refer only to his bodily designations, I'm American, I'm male, etc. He can only state his identification with the body, which he is not, and therefore he is fool number one. At first Arjuna was also thinking in terms of bodily connections, Krishna, how can I fight? On the other side there are my cousins, my brothers, my uncles, my nephews, and my brothers-in-law. If I kill them, their wives will become widows and be polluted, and there will be unwanted children. Arjuna was a very learned man, but he was perplexed. He said, my dear Krishna, now I'm puzzled. I'm a Kshatriya, and it is my duty to fight, but I'm deviating from this duty, because I'm bewildered, and cannot reason clearly. I know you can explain to me what I should do, therefore I surrender unto you as your disciple. Please instruct me. Bhagavad-gita 2.7. The Vedic literature advises us first of all that a guru is not a plaything. One should not think, I must have a guru, because it is fashionable, but there is no need to obey his order. That kind of guru is useless, and that kind of disciple is useless also. Accepting a guru is very serious. You must seriously find out who is a bona fide spiritual master, one who can solve the problems of your life. Only when one is serious about getting out of the blazing fire of material existence should one approach a spiritual master. This Srimad Bhagavatam, November 3, 21, says, Tasmad Kiram Prapadita, Jijnasas Realatamam, Sebd Per Kanisnatam, Brahmani Upasamasrayam. One who wants the ultimate benefit in his life must surrender to a guru. The guru must be well versed in the Vedic literature and know its conclusions. And not only must he be well versed in the scripture, but in his life he must have adopted the path of Vedic principles, without deviating in any way. He must be finished with all hankerings for wealth, women, and prestige, and he must be fully situated in spiritual life, completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. One should try to find such a personality and accept him as one's spiritual master. So the servants of Yamaraja applied quite properly. They did not manufacture principles of religion or irreligion. Instead, they explained what they had heard from their spiritual master, Yamaraja. Mahajano Yena Geta Sapantha. One should follow the Mahajana, the authorized person. Yamaraja is one of 12 authorities. Therefore the servants of Yamaraja, the Yamadutas, replied with perfect justification when they said, Sasruma, we have heard from our master, Yamaraja. Chapter 9. Punishment. The Yamadutas continued, the supreme cause of all causes, Narayana, is situated in his abode in the spiritual world, but still he controls the entire cosmic manifestation according to the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In this way all living entities are awarded different qualities, different names, such as Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaisya, different duties according to the Varnasrama institution, and different forms. Thus, Narayana is the cause of the entire cosmic manifestation. The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and the Super Soul himself all witness the activities of the living entity. The candidates for punishment are those who are confirmed by these many witnesses to have deviated from their prescribed duties. Everyone engaged in fruitive activities is suitable to be subjected to punishment according to his sinful acts. O inhabitants of Vaikuntha, you are sinless, but those within this material world are all fruitive workers, whether acting piously or impiously. Both kinds of action are possible for them, because they are contaminated by the three modes of nature, and must act accordingly. One who has accepted the material body cannot be inactive, and sinful action is inevitable for one acting under the modes of material nature. Therefore, all the living entities within this material world are punishable. Thus, in proportion to the extent of one's religious or irreligious actions in this life, one must enjoy or suffer the corresponding reactions of his karma in the next. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.1.41-45. The cause behind all activities. The Svetasvatarapanasart 6.8. informs us, Natasaya Karayam Karanam Kavidayate, Natasamaskapayatikas Katrasayate, Purasaya Saktirvavidhavis Ruayate, Svabhaviki Jnanabalakriyayaka. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is almighty, omnipotent. He has multifarious energies, and therefore he is able to remain in his own abode, and without endeavor supervise and manipulate the entire cosmic manifestation through the interaction of the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. These interactions create different forms, bodies, activities, and changes, which all occur perfectly. Because the Lord is perfect, everything works as if he were directly supervising and taking part in it. Atheistic men, however, being covered by the three modes of material nature, cannot see that Narayana is the supreme cause behind all activities. Lord Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 7.13. Tripur Gunamayar Bhavar Epasarvam Idam Jagat Mahatam Nabhijanadi Mam Ebhyaparamavayam. Deluded by the three modes, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible, compelled to work. There are three energies of the Supreme Lord: the internal energy, Parasakti, the marginal energy, and the external energy. The living entities belong to the marginal energy, because they can come under the influence of either the internal or external energy of the Lord. By nature they also belong to the Parasakti, but when they come under the control of the material energy they are known as Kshetrajnasakti, knowers of the material field. In other words, the direct, internal energy of God is spiritual, para, and the living entities have the same nature, para, but in contact with the material energy, etc., the living entity accepts a material body as his self, and is thus forced to act, Manipulating the five senses, the Yamadutas say that everyone with a material body must work. An ant and an elephant both have to work. The ant requires only a grain of sugar for his sustenance, whereas the elephant requires 300 kilograms of food daily, but both must work for it. Foolish people say that the Vaisnavas do not work, but the Vaisnavas work for Krishna 24 hours a day. They are not idle do-nothings. While we are in this material world, we have to work, but we work for Krishna. That is not really work, or karma, it is dharma, practical religion. Unless one works for Krishna, all his labor is a dharma, irreligious sense gratification. On the basis of the man's nature, the real aim of life is to satisfy Krishna, and Varnasrama Dharma is the institution of that ideal in human society. The Varnasrama system divides society into four spiritual orders, asramas, and four social classes, varnas. The spiritual orders are the brahmacharis, celibate students, the grahasthas, householders living under spiritual regulation, the vanaprasthas, retirees, and the sannyasis, renunciants. The four social orders are the brahmanas, intellectuals, the kshatriyas, warriors and administrators, the vaisyas, farmers and businessmen, and the sudras, manual laborers. Without the principles of Varnasrama Dharma, human society is almost animal society. Indeed, human civilization begins when human beings accept the four social and spiritual divisions of society, according to quality and work. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, 4.13, Katarvarnayam Mayasrastam Gunakarmavabhagasa, I have created the four social divisions according to quality and work. In this material world we associate with a particular combination of the modes of nature, and accordingly we mold our character and behavior, and by this criterion we fit into a particular social category. Today people say that there should be no more caste system, but how can they ignore the natural designation of classes in human society? There must be a class of intelligent men, the brahmanas, who are qualified to disseminate Vedic knowledge to the people in general. There must be a class of kshatriyas to offer administrative rule and protection. There must be a class of merchants and farmers, the vaisyas, who trade and perform agricultural duties such as cow protection. And there must be a class of sudras, who render service to the other classes. All men fit into these four classes, each according to his guna, or nature, prescribed duty versus unlawful action. Whatever our varna or asrama, however, the perfection of our work is to satisfy Vishnu, or Krishna. The Lord states this in the Bhagavad Gita, 3.9. Yajnatha karmano nayatra lakayam karma bandhana tadartham karma kantya muktasangasimakara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O Arjuna, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. This is the sum and substance of human life. Since we have to work, we should work for Christ now. Then we are saved from all sinful reactions. But if we work for our personal sense gratification, we will become entangled in the reactions, lifetime after lifetime. It is not possible for a person to get out of the clutches of repeated birth and death as long as he continues to pursue sense gratification. Caitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jivaras Virupa Haya Krishna Anitya Dasa, Caitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 20.108. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is eternally a servant of Krishna. If one takes that position, he is saved, otherwise not. And how does one who accepts his position as a servant of Krishna work? Prahlada Maharaja explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam, July 5, 23, Shravanam Kirtanam Visna, Smaranam Padasavanam, Arkanam Vandanam Dasayam, Sakhayam Atmanivedanam. Hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering these, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything to him. These are the 9 processes of pure devotional service. In order to take up these processes seriously, one must accept the regulative principles for spiritual life: no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling. Then one will be able to accept the injunction to chant the Hare Krishna Mata mantra and always be engaged in the service of the Lord in one of the above 9 ways. If we accept this authority, our life will be successful, both spiritually and materially. Otherwise, we will have to be satisfied with indulging in sense gratification, performing sinful activities, suffering like dogs and hogs, and enduring repeated birth, old age, disease, and death. Forgetfulness. We accept the body as ourself, thinking, I'm this body. However, we are not the body, but rather the owner of the body, just as we are not our apartment, but rather the owner or resident of the apartment. The soul is called Dehi, one who possesses a body. When we study our body, we say, this is my hand, this is my leg. We do not say, I'm this hand, I'm this leg. Yet the illusion that we are the body persists. The body is nothing but a vehicle for the soul. Sometimes a new motor car is wrecked in an accident, and the driver is overwhelmed with the sense of loss, forgetting that he is not the motor car. That is the effect of a hankara, false ego, or false conception of proprietorship. Because we are covered by ignorance, we have forgotten what our previous body was. Even in this life we do not remember that we were once babies on the laps of our mothers. So many things have happened in our lifetime, but we do not remember them all. If we cannot even remember things that have happened in this life, how can we remember our last life? A person engages in sinful activities because he does not know what he did in his past life to get his present materially conditioned body, which is subjected to the threefold miseries, those produced by his own body and mind, those caused by other living entities, and those arising from natural disasters. As stated by Lord Sahadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.4, Nunam Pramatakurupi Karma Yadindriya Pratya Apranoti, the human being who is mad after sense gratification does not hesitate to act sinfully. Now Sadhumani, this is not good. Yata atmano yamasan api klesada asadeha, because of such sinful actions, one receives another body in which to suffer as he is suffering in his present body, because of his past sinful activities. A person who does not have Vedic knowledge always acts in ignorance of what he has done in the past, what he is doing at the present, and how he will suffer in the future. He is completely in darkness. Therefore the Vedic injunction is tamasima, don't remain in darkness. Jayadargama, try to go to the light. This light is Vedic knowledge, which one can understand when one is elevated to the mode of goodness, or when one transcends the mode of goodness, by engaging in devotional service to the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. Knowledge through service. How service to the Lord and the spiritual master results in Vedic knowledge is described in the Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.23. Yasaya Dev Para Bhaktir, Yatha Dev Tatha Gira, Tisaya Ikatha Tahai Artha, practice in Mahatmana, unto those great souls, who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. The Vedas enjoin, Tadvijnanartham Sagiram Evabhigakit, one must approach a spiritual master who has full knowledge of the Vedas, and be directed by him, in order to become a devotee of the Lord. Then the knowledge of the Vedas will be revealed. When the Vedic knowledge is revealed, one need no longer remain in the darkness of material nature.